Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. We're turning afresh to Psalm numbered 19. Psalm numbered 19, we have entitled our study, as I'm sure you remember, The Ever Open Bible, which is seldom read, because the psalm begins with a reference to the heavens above and the firmament that we can see. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So the wonders of God are set forth in the heavens. But sadly, very few people ever take note of that. And a lot of people very foolishly misread what God has written in the heavens. It's like little boys or little girls just starting school and learning to read. Sometimes they look at the book and they make mistakes and they get the wrong word. And when they read out what they think is on the page, they're saying things that are not there at all. And the teacher has to say, wait a minute, that word doesn't say or isn't pronounced, and they correct you. Well, it's just the same when men and women look up to read what's written in the heavens. They get it wrong. They don't see God's work at all. They don't see God's work at all. And they make guesses at it. Just like little boys and girls, when they look at a word in their reading book and, what is that word? They make a guess, and they get it wrong usually. Well, that's the way it is with men. They look above and they make guesses, and they get it totally wrong. But don't you get it wrong, because here we're told in this psalm what is written in the heavens. Now we have progressed a little bit, and we're coming to the third study in this psalm, and we want to read what it is we have before us here. Verse 7 is where we're going to be looking at today. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, let's have a look at those words, because boys and girls, God's word contains so much more than we might think it contains when we first look at it. But if we open it up, why, there in those words we find many, many splendid truths. In fact, the libraries of the world are packed with great big volumes, big books, in which men have set down what they see in God's word. And there are many books yet to be written of the things that men under God's guidance will continue to see in the Bible. There's more in it than we at first observe. So we need to come back again and again to study the same portions of God's word. Now this verse 7 is simple, isn't it? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. David has been drawing our attention to the inspired word of God, having drawn our attention to the heavens and what they tell us. He then turns to the Bible, and he basically is explaining that what is written in the heavens, we find in the Bible, but we find it enlarged. What the heavens say in a few words, the Bible says in many words. It explains what is written in heaven. It augments what is written in heaven. Let me say, first of all, boys and girls, that there are three editions of God's revelation to man. In other words, God has spoken on three occasions to man. The first one, the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. The second time he speaks, it's in the Bible. And it's a greater explanation, much more detail. But there's much, sadly, in the Bible that men stumble over. You know, across the world today, there are many Christians, and were they to meet together, they would have arguments about what the Bible says on certain matters. They'd say, oh, no, that's not what it's meant. I believe this is what it means. Oh, no, it doesn't mean that, it means this. So there are disputes. I think Paul was referring to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verse 12, where we have pretty famous words found. For now we see through a glass darkly. That's because of our feelings, our weaknesses. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So Paul is saying that we have in the Bible a revelation that unfortunately, because of our weakness and our feelings, we only understand in a limited fashion. I'm just looking at the glass here in this door. It's the same glass in those windows, I think. And if you were to look through the glass, you can't see clearly. We call it frosted glass. And it's meant to be like that, so that little boys and girls aren't gazing out the window all the time at what's going on. They can't really see what's going on. And what's more, people passing can't gaze in and look at you because they can't see clearly. We're looking through a glass darkly. The glass here restricts what we can see. And when we come to the Bible, because of our feelings, not because of any feelings on the part of the Bible, but because of our feelings, we only see many things darkly, faintly, obscurely. And that's why you have people differing over what the Bible teaches. People differ on the matter of prophecy, and they hold very, very opposing views on the subject. And that's but evidence of how the Bible is viewed by many people in different ways, which is sad, because if we view the Bible and take the wrong view of it, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of the benefits of it. It's like, were you to find a map which records a place where treasure is hidden, but you misread the map, and off you go with your shovel, and you start digging furiously, and you dig down and down and down and down and down until there's a big hole, but there's no treasure because you misread the map. The map didn't tell you to dig where you have been digging. And that's like the Bible. Men come to the Bible and they read it and they take the wrong meaning out of it. And they fail to get the treasure. But there's another edition of God's revelation to men. There's the heavens. There's your Bible there, which is a much broader, wider, clearer revelation than that given in the heavens. But there's another edition coming along. Another edition. I've called it the future face-to-face viewing of Christ. We have ahead of us, each Christian, we have ahead of us a moment when we will be brought face-to-face with the Lord Jesus. We sing a hymn, face-to-face with Christ my Saviour. Face-to-face, what will it be? We'll behold him then as we have never seen him before. Oh, as I say, we now look through a glass darkly. Then we shall see him face to face. The Bible says a number of things. I'll read them out to you. I really didn't intend to take this amount of time on this topic, but since I have started, I think that we should just complete it. In 1 John, under the chapter 3, and the verse 2, we read this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, we're going to see him. We're going to look upon him in a much clearer way than we can look upon him in the Bible. By faith in the Bible, we see the Savior. We read what is said about him. We believe it. And we see him in our hearts and in our minds. But one day, we're going to see him face to face. And we look into his face, see every detail of his glory, of his beauty, of his splendor. There's another verse that I thought I would like to bring you. It's in the book of Isaiah. and it's Isaiah chapter 33, verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. Heaven's far away today to us. Here we are on earth, surrounded by all its darkness and sin, and heaven seems so far away from us. Though there are times in the mercy of God, heaven draws near to our hearts and souls, and we feel the presence of God, and we feel the atmosphere of heaven. But generally speaking, it's a land that is very far off. One day we shall see the King in his beauty. The last reference I have is in Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation, the last chapter, chapter 22 of Revelation, and right at the beginning of that chapter, we'll find something wonderful. We'll read from verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. We're here today seeking to worship the Lord. By faith we can picture him as he is set forth in the Bible, but it's a very limited viewing. One day you'll see his face. You will notice at the beginning of these verses, it talks about some of the splendors that there will be in God's eternity for the people of the Lord. That river, the trees that bring forth fruit, more important, though glorious will be these things, we shall see his face. Do you remember Moses, when he went up into the mountain? He made a request of God. Let me see your glory. Because it's the longing of the people of God to see the Lord more clearly. Thomas, on one occasion, said to the Lord Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied. But it wasn't the time. Here on earth, we're not in a fit state to see God. And Moses, when he made that request, the Lord said, all right, Moses, I will respond to your request in a measure. And he said, I'm going to hide you. I'll take away my hand. No man living on earth can see the face of God. His glory would overwhelm us. So, the heavens, the Bible, to a greater degree, and then finally that day in the future when we see the Lord, we'll see God in all his fullness. That's our privilege. That's our privilege. But David is here telling us, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is what the Bible does. This is what the Bible does. I've only a few minutes left, really. But let's see if I can get what it was I'd like to have said across to you. First of all, David declares the perfection of God's word as it has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. You see that book that you have on your lap? It has been printed by men, but it was not given. The words on the page were not given by man. They were written down by man, but they were writing down what God gave. I want you to ever remember that. You will never pick up a book like the Bible. Never. Its words are God's words. And it alone, we can say, the law of the Lord, it is perfect. It is brighter, clearer, without blemish, than that which is written in the heavens. You can learn so much by looking up to the heavens. Ah, but you'll learn so much more by reading the Bible. Peter said this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That is, Isaiah, Zechariah. They didn't get up one morning and say, "Do you know, I think I'll write a prophecy." No. It was not written by the will of man, a decision made by man, but rather, men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If I might put it like this, maybe sometimes in class a question has been asked, and you know the answer to it, but you don't say it, for one reason or another. And the teacher looks at you and says, "Well, do you know the answer?" And they give you a bit of a nudge, and they move you to tell what you know. Well, can you understand this? Men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost to write down what we have in the Bible. It was God prompted them, put into their minds, put into their hearts, guided their hands as they wrote down what God gave them. That's why you have in the Bible that which is perfect. It's perfect. Never, never forget that, boys and girls. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." How profitable is scripture? It'll keep us right. Quickly, note the power of God's word. We've thought about its perfection. The law of the Lord is perfect. But notice its power. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. We don't hear of many conversions today. Why? Because the law of the Lord's not preached. And it's the only source of that power that converts the sinner. The word converting carries the meaning of turning back, rescuing, recovering, restoring. That's what the word means. And spiritual conversion is the Lord bringing the sinner back from sin and rebellion and setting his feet upon the path of righteousness. Just the way the prodigal son was brought back from the far country, from living with the pigs. Oh boy, that must have been top spell. But he was brought back, and he got a bath, and he got new clothes and new shoes, and he was recovered, restored. That's what conversion is. And the law of the Lord works that in the hearts of men and women. That's why Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away." Can't you see the prodigal throwing off all the old dirty soil clothing? Behold, all things are new. This is the power of the Word of God. Have you felt that power? Have you been made new by the grace of God through His Word? One final thing, very quickly. Notice the profit that comes from obeying the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise. Making wise. The simple. The word sure is one of those Hebrew words that has a great breadth of meaning. I'm sure you can think of some English words that have a variety of meaning. Well, this is a Hebrew word just like that. It carries the meaning of father, nurse. And we've got to sit and think a little about this in order to understand just what it is we are being taught here. It refers to God's care of His people. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, beneficial. You actually find the same word in Ruth chapter 16, where there is a reference to the little baby that Ruth had just given birth to. And it is said of the little baby that Naomi, who was Ruth's mother-in-law, took the child and laid it in her bosom, gathered it in her arms, and became nurse unto it. And that word, nurse, is the same word as in our text, translated sure. The testimony of the Lord is like a nurse. It's like a nurse. Just as a nurse looks after a little baby. Just as Naomi looked after that little baby and fed, nourished the little baby.
It'll feed you, feed your soul.
And as a result of that, it will make you wise. It will make you wise. The Lord mercifully feeds wisdom to the most foolish. Let me read, just in closing, some verses from 1 Corinthians, the chapter 1. For ye see your calling, brethren, or what God has done for you, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Who does God nurse? Those who have no value. Who does he make wise? Those that the world thinks are foolish. God makes them wise. The Christian is looked upon by the world as being a foolish person. Ha! Believing the Bible. What a fool. But in believing the Bible, they are showing that God has made them wise. One day that will be seen to be so.
Do you believe the Bible today? Do you understand that it's God's word by which, if you believe what it says,
will convert your soul and carry you all the way to heaven? May the Lord bless his word today, boys and girls, to you and to all. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word, Lord, I pray. Grant that the day good will come of what has been said, and that thy name will be glorified. God, have mercy upon our little school. Keep the door open for times such as this, Lord, and the other seasons throughout the day. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.